Morning, everyone. Good to see you at church here today. We're enjoying the beginnings of summer now, and which is very exciting. Let's open in prayer, shall we? E te atua, God, who hears the cries of the hurting, open our ears and our hearts today. Teach us to listen as you listen, with compassion and patience and grace. Amen. So last week we began our series Living in Love with a message titled The Call to Love, exploring Jesus' invitation to love one another as he has loved us. This week we're going to be moving from the call to the practice of love. And the practice begins with something incredibly simple, but actually really countercultural, and that's listening. Listening sounds easy, but in truth, it's one of the hardest things that we do. We live in a world full of noise, headlines, opinions, notifications, little red dots with numbers in them on our phone. But love doesn't start with noise. Love begins with silence. Love begins with presence. Love begins when we are truly listening. I am going to find this message incredibly challenging. Because I find it incredibly easy to stand in front of you and speak, and I know that the only responses will be incidental and not an ongoing conversation. And so I find it easy to tune stuff out that I'm not really concerned about. And so to be challenged by the Word of God that love begins with listening is a pretty big challenge for me. So I want to get that out there at the beginning in case anybody goes, well, he can, you know, he doesn't listen, so why should I? I'm telling you, I am being spoken to by this very message that I'm bringing today. So, to my first point, the question that tests the heart. We're going to actually be referring to Luke 10, 25 to 37, which is the story or the parable of the Good Samaritan. And as you know, we've actually touched on this several times before. It continues to speak to me, and I'm sure it will continue to speak to me for many years to come. But Luke 10 opens with a religious expert asking Jesus a question, and that question's pretty big. What must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus, as he so often does, answers with a question of his own. What is written in the law? And the man answers perfectly. Love God, love your neighbor. But then he asks this question, and who is my neighbor? It's a revealing question. He's not asking out of curiosity, but control. He wants to know the limits of love. He wants to know who counts and who doesn't. We sometimes ask the same thing, even if we don't say it aloud. Who am I responsible for? Who can I ignore? Jesus responds not with a definition, but with a story, the story of the Good Samaritan. What am I trying to say with this point? Love is not limited by boundaries. It is defined by mercy. There aren't boundaries that you're supposed to put around love. You're supposed to just define that love in a merciful way. That's what's there in that story. My second point is about seeing the wounded. Jesus tells of a man in this story beaten and left on the side of the road between Jerusalem and Jericho, a notoriously dangerous stretch known for thieves. two religious men pass by, each with their own reasons. They see, but they don't stop. So very often that is a challenge for us as we listen to the Holy Spirit, or as we are guided by the Spirit when he shows us things and we don't pause. We go, oh yeah, that's good, and move on. Or we just act on, oh, okay, God showed me this, I'm going to do that. We don't pause and stop and understand. Then a Samaritan comes along, an outsider, someone despised by Jewish listeners, and he sees the man differently to the others. He stops. He listens to what the silence of the wounded man is saying. I love that thought. He listens to what the silence of the wounded man is saying. Have you listened to the silence of people around you? In Hastings, we don't walk the Jericho Road, but we have our own roadsides. People we pass every day. The man sleeping rough by the park, the neighbour weighed down by quiet loneliness, the young person lost in anxiety. Love begins when we stop long enough to notice. I remember talking to a man who started attending our church and started with the Hub. And one of the things that drove him to come here was the fact that every morning for, I think, over a year, he would see a member of our church who would walk past and go, good morning. And then he'd swear at him and tell him to get lost. And this person continued doing that for a very long time until eventually this guy's like, there's something up here, and ends up connecting with us. Love begins when we stop long enough to notice people. Listening is the first act of compassion. So often in the work that I do, I see services and service workers, and they're busy beavers, and they've got, you know, a whole bunch of solutions and a whole bunch of things they want to do. And so, you know, the person they're dealing with speaks for maybe 5 seconds, and the next minute they're being pummeled with all these things that and options and ways that they could change their life and improve it and plans and all sorts of things. Before we can heal or help, we must see. Love begins when we see beyond labels and we start to listen beneath the surface of what's going on with the people we encounter. Now, that might seem quite easy with our friends. We're used to listening to them. Not so much when someone speaks differently to us or at a different volume or uses some colour that we don't use in our language. It can be challenging to listen. He said a naughty word. I couldn't hear anything else. It brings me to listening across difference. The Samaritan not only saw but crossed the divide between them. There was history there, there was hostility, there was pain, and yet compassion overruled prejudice. Compassion overruled prejudice. In Aotearoa, we know something of that tension. We carry histories of misunderstanding and hurt between peoples. Māori and Pākehā, young and old, housed and unhoused, churched and unchurched. Love that listens says, tell me your story. It doesn't rush to fix or defend or explain. It makes space for truth to be spoken and heard. So often we aren't concerned about whether someone hears the truth as long as we're saying it. And so we'll shout each other down with our truth. I've said a few times in the Hub, while our whānau share stories of addiction or addiction and recovery, I remember one where this person didn't need any advice. They'd had all of it for many, many years. They'd seen the end result of addiction. They knew what was coming. They knew what they'd endured already. But what they needed most was ears that listened without judgment. In those moments, healing begins. Not because of words spoken, but because of presence offered. When we first started this work, one of my first prayers of anguish and concern was to the Lord to say, God, I have no idea how to communicate with these people in front of me. I don't know what to say. I don't know how to greet people. I don't know how to have a conversation. What do we have in common? Where do I start? All God said was acknowledgement is a good place to start. So I started with raising my eyebrows, a very cool little thing we do in New Zealand. I'm here. I acknowledge that you're here. Then it slowly grew into words, and beyond words into conversations, and beyond conversations into relationship, into trust. But here's what I love, what I've discovered about listening. Listening is an act of reconciliation. Listening is an act of reconciliation. Remember that. Listening is an act of reconciliation. It heals before it solves. Isn't that what God does with us? Listening is an act of reconciliation. It heals before it solves. The scripture says, by his stripes we are healed. By his crucifixion and resurrection, we are redeemed. There was the solution, and yet it was the stripes and the suffering and the solidarity with those who suffer by suffering that heals us. By his stripes we are healed. Listening is an act of reconciliation. It heals before it solves. That's a really powerful thing for us as believers. We don't have to solve all the problems. We can begin the healing before then. Point four, for all you nerds taking notes. Love that interrupts. The Samaritan's compassion was inconvenient. He had somewhere to go, but love interrupted his journey. He bandaged wounds, he carried the man to safety, and he paid for his care. I want to make a little distinction here between interruption and distraction. We can often say that something interrupts us. Oh no, I don't want to be distracted. No, you don't want to be interrupted. A distraction is often the thing that draws your attention away when it shouldn't, or draws it away from the thing you should be paying attention to. Sometimes that great purpose you've got in your heart is just a distraction, and it needs to be interrupted. Love interrupted his journey. The Samaritan bandaged wounds. He carried the man to safety and paid for his care. It mentions nothing of what he was supposed to be doing. Sometimes the most loving thing we can do is let our plans be disrupted. Real listening takes time. It means slowing down enough to be present in the moment. How often we're listening in conversation and our eyes are flitting off to somewhere else. Think of how Jesus often stopped in his life on earth. He stopped for the blind man calling from the roadside, for the woman who touched his cloak, for children who interrupted serious conversations. Love listens even when it's inconvenient. To love well for us as believers. And here's my takeaway from this. To love well is to be interruptible, is to be inconvenienced, is to have the things we feel are important relegated to subordinate to listening and caring. My fifth point here is go and do likewise. When Jesus finishes the story, he asks which of these three was a neighbor to the man. The expert replies, the one who showed mercy. And Jesus says, go and do likewise. It's not just a story about compassion, it's a command to embody it. Love that listens is love that acts. In our context, this means opening our ears to God and to our neighbours. Listening to the whenua, to the cries of the poor, to the stories of mana whenua, to the Spirit whispering in prayer to us. It means listening for what God is already doing in Hastings and joining in. We know this to be certain. Love listens and then moves. How often have we heard stories that have moved us emotionally? Surely, when we listen to love and listen to God and to the Holy Spirit, it shouldn't just move us emotionally, but move us in actuality and in totality. Not just, oh, that just felt so good this Sunday. It was such a blessed service. I went away on cloud nine. I'd rather you went away on a four-wheel drive and help move some earth. Love listens and then moves. So how do we live out that kind of love that listens this week? Well, here's a really big one for me. Pause before you speak. I'll be working on that. Create moments of silence and conversation. Let others finish before responding. My wife is celebrating in the back there. The second thing is listen with empathy. Ask someone their story. Actually ask to hear something. Tell me something. Instead of just going, how's it going? And they go, yeah, good. You go, okay, yeah. And waiting for them to ask you about your life. Why don't you ask them something about theirs? Ask their story, a neighbor, a colleague, a young person, and listen without interruption. If you have autistic tendencies, what can happen is often you're listening with empathy, and then someone says something and you immediately want to reassure them, so you tell them a version of that story yourself to identify with them, right? I've heard that comes across as interrupting. Then I want each of us, if we're going to live out love this week, a love that listens, to be open to interruption. When your plans are interrupted, and they can be interrupted for a myriad of reasons, just ask a simple question: is this an opportunity to love? Is this interruption an opportunity to love? If it is, who cares about the interruption? Just love. And one I think is really helpful, and I think as Christians we need to practice this more often than we do, and that is pray by listening. Spend time in silence this week, listening for God's still small voice. So rather than bringing your list or your rote kind of practice of prayer, maybe posture yourself to listen to what the Lord might want to say to you. And lastly, here's a way you can apply listening, is gather together with other Christians, other believers, and share what you're hearing from God, from others, and from our community. When you're talking in your groups, or if you go to a small group, or if you just gather casually or as friends, say, oh, I've been hearing some things. And I don't mean just repeating the news headlines or what's going on, but personal things. Oh, my neighbour was telling me they're really struggling with XYZ. Oh, I ran into so-and-so and, you know, they've got a pretty significant injury they're working through, or one of their family is unwell. By sharing that, it's two things. You've listened to someone else and you've encouraged others to hear that story. I'm not talking about gossip. I'll tell you what, if you find it really easy to share stuff, it was probably just a bit of gossip. When it has some meaning and power, it's often more difficult to share, right? If we became known as a people who listen and not just speak, a church where every person feels heard and valued, where love has ears as well as hands, just think of the amount of healing that could be involved in that. One conversation at a time, because the people of God chose to listen. While we sit here, coming to the end of this message, perhaps ask the Lord, who do you need me to listen to this week? If you're married, I know who's top of the list. It'll be your spouse. God, who do you need me to listen to this week? To live in love is to listen like Christ. It's to listen with compassion. It's to listen with humility. And it's to listen with courage. The courage to act. The Samaritan story is not just a parable to admire. It's a pattern to follow. We have so many opportunities in this city. We have so many opportunities. There are thousands of them walking around us every day. Opportunities to love. Opportunities to care and to act. Opportunities to transform the community around us and introduce them to Jesus. My prayer is that our God, who listens and loves, make us attentive to your Spirit and to one another. You know, our lives are so full and so busy, Lord. Help us to pay attention. To pay attention to the silence and what might be behind that. May our ears become instruments of healing and our presence a source of peace. Lord, send us out as listeners, as reconcilers, and as neighbors. We ask for your continued grace and favor. In Jesus' name, amen.